Are you sure you want to stay here? It looks creepy.
But Savannah, this is the House of Mystery. Let's see, the brochure says true crime, conspiracy, alternate history, all rooms right here in the house.
I don't know, which room is ours?
Yes, this may be our room. Oh, well, sorry, ma'am. Obviously, this is not our room.
Ah, here's our room. True crime.
You have now entered into the House of Mystery, the best in true crime, conspiracy, and alternative history, with Al Warren and Kevin Thompson. KCAA, the stations that leave no listener behind. Broadcasting on 1050 AM, 102.3 FM, and 106.5 FM. The trifecta of talk radio for Southern California.
Coming up next, Stephen David Lampley delivers his true crime commentary.
With Stephen David Lampley, your crime and forensic source from coast to coast.
Well, folks, here we are. Welcome to Crime and Forensics, our very first full radio show. You know, I'm not laughing because I'm laughing at the show. I'm laughing because this has been an amazing journey to get here. I know a lot of you were listening to Stephen's true crime commentary, and I truly appreciate your tuning in. The numbers have been phenomenal. Thank you. And your comments? Wow. We've received so many positive comments. You just don't know how much I appreciate your support. So, Stephen's true crime commentary has been retired. And now, in its place, a new full radio show and podcast. Who would have ever thought that we'd be here? That's amazing. Just a few short months ago, my first book was published, and I was asked to be on several radio shows and interviews, and wow, it seemed like we just waved a wand, and all of a sudden, here we are. Where can you hear Crime and Forensics? Many, many places. Each Friday at noon Eastern and 10 Mountain Time, you can tune in to my show by going online to Crime and Forensics Pod, that's P-O-D, crimeandforensicspod.com, and you can hear the show as its first broadcast. You can also go to somethingweirdmedia.com and check radio show times on radio stations from coast to coast all across the country and hear this program as well. You know, but that's not all. You can also hear the show on iHeartRadio, TuneIn, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podbay FM, and Talk Stream Live. Folks, we are everywhere. Thank you for your support. Okay, so what is crime and forensics about, Steve? Well, we'll be discussing a whole bunch of crime and forensics topics. We're going to be doing some how it's done stuff to explain to you how some of the crime scene investigations are done and why and how some of the stuff is performed. We're going to be doing some interesting trivia on things you may not know. For instance, you know that luminol, the chemical compound that eliminates trace blood evidence, also reacts with feces and horseradish. You know, not that you'll ever need to know that, but it's trivia. You may not know. Also, during each show, we will be previewing an unsolved homicide, serial killing, a suspicious death, or a missing person under suspicious circumstances, and giving you the opportunity to possibly help solve a real case. And if that's not enough, occasionally we will have a guest whose name you will probably recognize very quickly. Some of our guests will include Nancy Grace from Court TV, Headline News. You probably know her from Closing Arguments, the host of Nancy Grace, and currently the co-host of Grace and Abrams on A&E. We will have Carl Marino, who plays Lieutenant Joe Kenda on Investigation Discovery's Homicide Hunter. And we're also going to have Gemma Hoskins, who is an investigator on Netflix docuseries The Keepers. We're also going to have Bill Thomas, who is the former executive director of SAG-AFTRA, and who is the brother of Kathy Thomas, who some of you know was one of the very first victims in the Colonial Parkway murders. As you can tell, we're very serious about our show. So here we are. I hope you like what we're doing. If you do like us, would you please take a moment? It's very important to us. Please take a moment and tell us. We really like hearing from you. I promise that. We really want to hear what you have to say. After the show, just go to our Facebook page. It's Facebook Stephen David Lampley page. Facebook Stephen David Lampley page. And comment and tell us what it is that you like about the show or the crime and forensic shows in general. Okay, folks. It looks like it's time for a break. Stay with us and we'll be right back.
You know you're lied to, right? It's not if you're lied to, it's do you know when it happens? Studies show that the average person can only catch a lie about 54% of the time. Heck, you might as well just flip a coin. But studies also show that a person who has been properly trained in lie detection can detect lies about 90% of the time. A big difference. Stephen presented his How to Catch a Liar session at the 2018 Crime Con at the Gaylord Opryland Hotel and Convention Center and had to be moved from the Washington Conference Room into the Presidential Ballroom due to the enormous number of registrations to hear his program. Even in the Presidential Ballroom, it was standing room only with 850 people seated. You can have this session brought to your company or organization. Go to StephenDavidLampley.com for more information.
I was a police officer for over two decades. We did not have this problem so much when I was a police officer, except toward the end of my career. The court system in this country, folks, is experiencing a problem that did not exist until fairly recent history. There's a problem, it's not with the judges. It's not with the lawyers, it's not with the bailiffs, and it's not with the court reporters. It's a problem with juries. It's a problem with the expectations that juries have on the production and quality of evidence in cases. The problem is that juries have expectations regarding evidence that are impossible to obtain in most cases. They're totally unrealistic expectations. These expectations are a direct result of television shows and movies. Fittingly enough, this phenomena is called the CSI effect. If what juries expected was actually possible, it would be a legal system utopia. It would be a legal system bliss. However, oftentimes what juries expect to be produced just simply doesn't exist. And instead of creating a utopia, it creates a legal system quandary. Some juries are expecting that, you know, DNA results, for instance, can be obtained in under an hour. They expect that fingerprint evidence can be found on all criminal cases. They expect that fingerprint matches are possible on all cases. They expect that homicides can be solved in minutes. That's just not the reality of it all, folks. That's just not the way it works. That's just not real world. That's not reality. The perception of jurors that the procedures, that the methods and results that they see on television are real is completely false. Far too many jurors expect what they see on crime shows such as CSI, and I'm not bashing CSI, there's other shows that do this as well, is what happens in reality, and it's oftentimes not. I'm not saying that everything that you see on these shows is false, but some of it is. And that's the problem we have in courts these days, is that they expect everything they see on television to be the reality. Jurors expect miracles. A fantasy land of unrealistic expectations. Now, these unrealistic expectations cause innumerable problems, and it causes problems for law enforcement, defense attorneys, prosecuting attorneys, forensic experts, judges, and it even causes problems for witnesses and defendants. But the problem doesn't end there. Unfortunately, unreasonable expectations regarding evidence can cause juries to find a guilty defendant innocent because they don't get what they think they need related to evidence based on what they've seen on television. You know, in fact, there are cases where it is feared that the CSI effect swayed the jury. Now, besides the problems related to expected evidence by juries, the CSI effect can cause other negative effects. Other problems such as strains on already backlogged forensic science resources and forensic personnel to produce evidence that sometimes is not needed or warranted for a particular case type. All right, let's go further. Another problem with the CSI effect is the necessity of defense and prosecuting attorneys having to take the time to explain the real world, forensics, and facts in attempt to dispel some of the unreasonable jury expectations on evidence as they have seen on television. Actually, in some courts, folks, it is now acceptable to strike a potential juror during the voir dire process simply based on the individual's viewing of television shows, showing these fantasy forensics and investigative techniques and procedures. All right, it gets worse. Some in the criminal justice field feel that the CSI effect may be causing criminals to change how they commit their crimes because they may be learning how to better prevent their capture and how to cover their tracks by altering or eliminating evidence. According to a Pittsburgh Tribune Review article, several rape victims reported that their assailants made them clean themselves, even shower with bleach after assaulting them. There is, however, another school of thought regarding the CSI effect, and that is that shows of crime and forensics have no impact on criminals being caught because while a criminal is busy trying not to create evidence by one means, they will create evidence by another means. Regardless of the belief of whether or not it has any effect on evidence by the criminal, it does, as we discussed previously, have an impact in the courts. Individuals who are selected for jury duty should understand that what they see on television and in the movies as it relates to evidence collection and analysis may not be the real world. If you are about to go on jury duty, please understand that what you see on television may not be the real world reality. Hey, this is Stephen. I want to invite you to check out my book, Outside Your Door. Outside Your Door is a collection of true crime stories taken right from my case files and experience as a former police officer and undercover SVU detective. Some of the stories include the homicide case on which we used NASA's assistance. It includes my arrest of the Claremont killer, as well as the undercover operation that led to my arrest of a fugitive from justice on Canada's Most Wanted. Now, Outside Your Door is not just a collection of stories about criminals. It includes stories on humanity. Ember and Quinn Hammond, co-hosts of the podcast Fiercely Altered Perspective, say of Outside Your Door, "This book really gives you the inside scoop of what happens in the life of our police, the good, the bad, and the tragic. You will laugh, and you will definitely cry." Get your copy and let me know what you think. Available online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Books A Million. On June the 6th, 1992, two girls named Suzanne Elizabeth Susie Streeter and Stacy Kathleen McCaw graduated from Kickapoo High School in Springfield, Missouri. Susie, date of birth March 3rd, 1973, was 19 at the time of her disappearance. She was 5 feet 5 in height, weighed approximately 102 pounds. She had straight, shoulder-length, bleach blonde hair, brown eyes, and she had a 3.5-inch scar on her upper right forearm. Susie had a mass on her left corner of her mouth, which gave the appearance that she had something in her mouth. Her ears were pierced, once in the right ear, a low piercing, and twice in her left ear, which was a low piercing and a helix piercing. Stacy McCall, date of birth April 3, 1974, 18 at the time of her disappearance, was 5 foot 3 in height, and she weighed approximately 120 pounds and had mid-back length dark blonde hair that had sun-lightened ends. Stacy had blue eyes and freckles on her face and a dimple on her chin. The two girls, now after graduation, went to several graduation parties and had plans to spend the night at a friend's house. However, when they arrived at the friend's house, it was very crowded, so they decided to go back to Susie's house instead. Susie's house, located at 1717 East Delmar Street in Springfield, was a single-story bungalow-style home with asphalt shingles, off-white stucco exterior walls with natural rock veneer decoratively appointed about halfway up the wall in a wave pattern. The home had a single-car carport to the right that sat in front of a single-car garage. The carport was attached to the front of the detached garage and to the right side of the home with the numbers 1717 along the top roof line in front of the carport. There was a set of four concrete steps that led up to the small porch and to the aluminum storm door at the front entrance. There was a concrete drive that led under the carport and a concrete circular drive that went from the left in front of the house. The home had several large trees scattered throughout the yard. 1717 East Delmar is located in the first block west off of Glenstone Avenue, which is primarily a commercial thoroughfare. The neighborhood is situated central in the city of Springfield. Springfield is located in southwest Missouri and is about 50 miles north of the Arkansas state line and approximately 75 miles east of the Kansas state line. The two girls arrived at Susie's house, and Susie's mom was there when they arrived. Cheryl Elizabeth Levitt, date of birth November 1, 1944, was 47 at the time of her disappearance. She was 5 feet in height, weighed approximately 110 pounds with brown eyes. She had naturally curly hair that was short and bleached blonde. Cheryl had pierced ears and freckles on her face and upper chest area. A cosmetologist by trade, her and Susie were very close. The two teenage girls were last seen approximately at 2 a.m. on June the 7th. At some point, they were seen in Battlefield, Missouri. Cheryl, Susie's mom, was last heard from at approximately 11:15 p.m. on June the 6th as she was talking on the telephone about painting a piece of furniture with a friend. The morning of June the 7th, the friend whose house at which they were originally planning to spend the night came to Susie's house with her boyfriend after Susie and Stacy did not show up to go to the water slide in Branson, Missouri. When they arrived, they discovered the front door was unlocked and the front porch light cover had been broken, but the light was intact. They went inside. No one was home, even though all of their cars were parked in the driveway. Susie's mom's car in the carport and the girls' cars along the circular drive in front of the home. When they entered, they discovered Susie's and Cheryl's dog, a Yorkshire Terrier, inside, seemingly agitated. While in the home, the girls' friend answered an incoming telephone call, which was a male voice making a sexual suggestive statement. She hung up the phone, but the caller called back again, making suggestive comments. Unfortunately, the boyfriend who came with the girl's friend swept up the glass from the porch that was left by the broken porch light. Cheryl's, Susie's, and Stacy's purses were all sitting on the floor of the living room. Stacy's clothes had been folded very neatly. Both Cheryl's and Susie's cigarettes were left, as was Stacy's migraine medication. Cheryl's bed had been slept in, and all personal belongings that they owned were left behind. A few hours later, the mother of Stacy, concerned that she could not reach her daughter by phone, came to Susie's house looking for her daughter. While she was there, she checked the messages on the telephone answering machine and heard what she called a strange message. Unfortunately, again, the voice recording was accidentally erased. The investigators had reason to believe that the message was not tied to the prank sexual calls answered by the girl's friend. While there, she contacted the Springfield police. Prior to calling the police, investigators estimated that up to 20 people had entered the home and severely contaminated the crime scene. It was December 1992 on New Year's Eve when an America's Most Wanted tip line received a call from a man who said he had information regarding the case. Again, unfortunately, as the America's Most Wanted representative was attempting to transfer the call to the Springfield Police Department, the call was disconnected. And despite pleas, he refused to call back. According to the brief information the caller did provide, the investigator stated that he had, quote, prime knowledge of the abductions. Police investigators also received a tip that the three women were buried in the ground where the parking garage is located for Cox Hospital. A mechanical engineer was called in, and using a ground-penetrating radar unit, there were three abnormalities noted, and each it was described as approximately similar in size. It was decided that since the tip, quote, provided no evidence or logical reasoning behind this theory, unquote, It was decided that the cost to dig and then reconstruct the structure would be extremely costly, and no excavation to check for the women's bodies has as yet been done. If you have information about this case or where the missing girls can be found, please, if you would, call the Springfield, Missouri Police Department. Area code 417-864-1810. Thank you. Well, here we are, folks, the end of our very first radio show. What do you think? Take a moment, let me know. Go to my Facebook page at Stephen David Lampley Page. That's Facebook, Stephen David Lampley Page. And tell me what you think. Tell me what you liked about the show. It's really vitally important that you tell us what you think about the show. All right, a couple of things before we go. Because our major benchmark on how we're doing is the number of downloads that we get on the podcast, it's so important. It would be really great if you would download our podcast shows. It's free, I promise. It's completely and totally free. There's no fine print. There's no catch. There's no, oops, we're going to bill you later type thing. It's just simply free, folks. But remember, also, coming soon, we're going to have a giveaway that will be tied to the show downloads. So not only are the downloads free, the more show downloads you have, the more chances you have to win things like t-shirts, travel mugs, autographed books, and some other cool stuff, perhaps. All right, be sure to tell your friends and family about our show. And it's okay to share the show's page, that's crimeandforensicspod.com, on your website or on your social media. Also, don't forget that our show is available on radio stations across the country. If you go to www.somethingweirdmedia.com, you'll see a show schedule there, and you can catch us on the radio in various parts of the country as well. We're also making our podcast show archives available to you absolutely free, so you can listen as much as you would like to. All right, one last thing. Don't forget about our shout-outs. Remember, if you would like a shout-out, we're going to take those names from the comments that we get on the Facebook page. So if you would like a shout-out, tell us what you liked about it, whether you liked a particular show, whether you like all the shows. Tell us what you like, and we will be picking names from among our fans and giving you a shout-out there. All right, folks. Well, wow, that about does it for me on our first show. I have really enjoyed being with you and look forward to spending time with you next time. Hello, this is Stephen David Lampley, host of the new true crime radio show, Crime and Forensics, heard on my new podcast and on great radio stations across the country. Hey, if you were a listener to my weekly 10-minute true crime commentary, then you're going to love the new show. Lots more information, cold case reviews, giving you the chance to possibly help solve a homicide or missing persons case. We'll even have an occasional guest whose name you will recognize. I'm going to give shout-outs to loyal listeners each episode and give you some crime and forensics trivia you may not know. Honestly, you never know what we're going to be doing. Tell your friends and family, share the show on your social media. Tune in to Crime and Forensics with Stephen David Lampley, that's me, on my podcast and great radio stations from coast to coast. You can also hear the show on iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podbay FM, and TalkStream Live.
You've been listening to Crime and Forensics with Stephen David Lampley, your crime and forensics source from coast to coast.
To find out more about our show, guests, or listen to a previous show, visit our website at www.somethingweirdmedia.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.